Hello, this is Lean 6 Leadership. My name is Martin Hickey. That's the lean with the number 6 and leadership. That's because of the whole lean and Six Sigma and project management all put together into one package. I discuss the ins and outs of quality engineering, management, program, and project management, and how it can apply to your daily life, preferably your professional life. I'm a certified Six Sigma Master Black Belt, and I've been certified in project management professional by Project Management Institute. Well, the PMI certification is out of date, and I used to teach it. I still understand the fundamentals. Everything after version 5, you know, it's more about the concepts are the same. The verbiage is different. There are certain concepts that are going to stay the same regardless. It's project management. It is what it is. If you're trying to study for any of these tests, do not rely specifically on this podcast. I do encourage you to seek others out for test prep. This is not going to help you on test prep. However, once you have a position using these skills, this will help you there. This is more for the professional who's already engaging in it, or a new professional who's newly certified and is quickly engaging in these objects. Also, if you're someone who wants to use these techniques and tools, then this is for you. It gets you into a familiarization of how to work with this stuff. In this episode, we're going to talk about tool selection. How do you select the tool for the right job? Just like with anything else. Like when you're going to go work on something like a piece of wood, you're going to use the right tools for the right job. You're going to use a router for what you need a router for. You're going to need a saw for a saw. You're not going to use a saw as a hammer. You could be difficult, but I wouldn't recommend it. A screwdriver. Well, we'll use a screwdriver for a pliers. It's not going to happen. So you're going to want to make sure you apply the right tool to the right job. And the first thing that comes to mind when defining, when running with a tool, is our first item. You need to define whatever you're working on. You know, then you got to make sure your charter is going to, which is the second item, is going to limit what you can and can't do and set things up. And that's going to drive what tools you use. And then, of course, the types of tools. We'll talk about that as well. So let's get into it. Now, you have to define the whatever you're working on. You need to have an understanding of whatever you're working on. And make sure you're in order to apply the correct tool. What do I mean by that? Simply put, use my wood example again. Working on any project, I'm not going to put a FEMIA together when I need a work breakdown structure. I'm not going to apply a design of experiments when it's just make a change. I mean, plan, do, check, act cycle works a whole lot better than going straight to MAIC sometimes. You know, define, measure, analyze, improve, control. You don't need to go full Six Sigma sometimes. Sometimes you don't even do full lean. You need to apply the appropriate tool to the appropriate job. And the first thing that comes up to is the size of the job, the size of the project, the size of the item that's being dealt with, the size of the service being provided. Do you throw down a tool just because? We'll use a value stream map here and determine what's going on with this process. Okay. Why would I value stream map painting something? It's just one step of the process. It's not going to do me any good to value stream map it. It's more of look at the process. Where's the waste? I don't need the value stream map to figure that out. I'm wasting time doing it. Oh, that's the other thing, time. How much time would it take to do it? Now, value stream mapping start to finish and making sure the appropriate scope. Oh boy. Last episode, scope. The scope of the project, the work that needs to be done, is identified appropriately. There's four levels of value stream maps. Four. And as you go up, the more detail they get. Now, if I'm doing an entire process, level one, level two, I don't need more than that. I don't need every step, you know, isolated down. The painting process, that's a level four. Okay. Put part on thing, run it through machine. Machine paints it, take part off machine. I don't care how detailed you go. There's not a whole lot much more I need with that. But if I'm going from raw material to sale, level one, level two value stream map is very appropriate because that's the size you need to work with, the time constraints, because you're not getting to super detail on it, but you're starting to identify areas that need it, that have issues. Also, cost. How much does it cost to work on one of these tools? Well, that's going to depend. You know, we're looking at, is it one person working on it? Two people working on it? Okay, that's okay. There's the salary there or the hourly wage, whichever. You know, you throw an hourly value on it. And you figure it's going to be X amount of hours to put it together, plus communication time, plus everything else, plus benefits. Got to add that in. Other overhead costs too, just to put it together. And then you got to take time out of people's work to get the data from them because, well, let me see, they're adding value by working on product. So all of these things need to be addressed when you're determining which tool you're going to use because you don't want to impact whatever you're trying to do, your product or service. Now, whenever you start a project, you want a charter, contract, some sort of document that sets it up. And in the charter, it's going to tell you your limits, what you can and can't do, what you're allowed to do, who's allowed to do what, because you need people, and then the types of communication within that. You know, how you communicate. I mean, a RACI chart, kind of an important tool there, especially in planning. Responsible, accountable, communicate, inform. Kind of important things for people to know. And your charter allows you to set up that particular tool. Kind of an important tool for that particular item. And then wherever you're at in your planning and, you know, define, measure, plan, do, whatever. I can't remember all the ones for project management. Can you tell I'm out of practice with my project management, even though I still use it like crazy? It's simple. Your charter establishes what you can and can't do. Your contract establishes what you can and can't do. And those limitations are there for a reason. Goes back to my first item, cost and time. Time and cost. Cost and time. They're going to drive pretty much everything you do. So why do we worry about these things? Why is it something that we want to even come close to dealing with? Well, it's simple. The more appropriate the tool for the job, the easier the job is. As someone who works with their hands at least 4 days a week, because I'm out in my little workshop, and it's going to be on YouTube pretty soon. You're going to see the work that's done. And I'm not dealing with just one particular item. And I got to make sure that I'm using the appropriate tools. I'm a one-man shop. There's a lot of tools I don't use. Brainstorming for me, I don't need a formal process to brainstorm. I just need a piece of paper. and I just, you know, throw what comes up against the wall, see what's still up on the wall at the end of the day. It's typically what brainstorming is. You know, let's break this down. Tool types. Brainstorm, just do it, complex. There's a whole bunch of different categories for the different tools. I break down to those three particular ones because it's more about, you know, brainstorming items. There's a lot of them. Fishbone, Famia, there's more. I'm kind of holding up right now. Just do, like plan, do, check, act, things like that. You just get in and do it, and then you get really complex stuff like X bar R charts and things like that, where you're doing stuff over a long period of time, preferably. I mean, statistical analysis, it's supposed to be short time stuff, which, when done correctly, it is. I mean, MSA's measurement system analysis, I cannot remember the term. We are testing the viability of the gauge for both repeatability I can't remember the other term. Good grief. I've done so many of them. Accuracy and repeatability and whatnot across multiple operators. You know, take a set of knowns, have them all using the same gauges, have them take the measurements and record the measurements and all that kind of stuff. It gets real complex real fast, and you're sitting there throwing stuff into Minitab to find out or jump and trying to find out if it actually is or not. Because, well, I mean, you could do the calculations by hand, too, if you want to take the time. See, there you go. Do I spend the money on these additional tools like Jump or Minitab? I'm not going to, unless I have a larger operation where I have employees that I need to make sure that the process that they're operating on actually friggin' works and is stable. That's the other thing. Stability of process. I mean, it gets crazy. It gets crazy. Now, combination of tools. Using tools in combination to each other. The story today where I used a Famia and a DOE. It's a rather fascinating story. Every time I tell it, I get people really intrigued into it. I've told it a few times on the previous podcasts. Because it's a major deal. And, of course, Matrix. Kind of falls under a complex tool, but Matrix is like House of Quality, things like that. It's really complex, really fast. I mean, it starts out that way, and it's like referencing this, that, and the other, and gets rather interesting. So, using the different kinds of tools having an understanding of what you're, of the size of the item being with a project that you're working with, the people that are involved in it, the amount of time everyone has, how much resources you can throw at it. What are your limits per your charter, contract, or whatever other governing document you're working with? All of that drives it. All of it. It all drives it. Now on to the story. This is going to be a fun one. I was working as a continuous improvement guy because I had my, I was just a black belt at the time. I was just a Six Sigma black belt at the time. I hadn't had my master black belt just yet. I was in the process of getting it at the time. And what happened was we were having a problem. Our customers having a real problem with a particular item not functioning properly at a certain point in testing. As far as the actual end-use product, you didn't hear much about it. because the end use product, these were, I'll say what it is. These were the combat grenades for the Mark 19. The fuses in them during testing were having issues, and we're trying to find out what they were. So we had a meeting. We had several meetings, really. It was like a, you know, this was like a 3-month long project. And it turns out I was de facto in charge of it. I had to run the whole damn thing. That's because it was a contractual obligation for, call it a, when you have contracts and then you have issues where you need, something waived because of a minor issue, that the customer will say, yeah, we'll let it slide, but we want consideration. Consideration can come in many forms. It could be there's a discount later on a subsequent lot of material, or it's additional services rendered because you have a unique set of skills available to you that the customer doesn't have, and they're going to go ahead and use those in addition to the waiver they put to you. Well, guess what our customer did? Because of me, where I was, and our customer had Malcolm Baldrige awards. We didn't. So, you know, they're supposedly the best at that stuff at the time. They just earned that award, too. So they had me kind of running this thing. So I'm in there, and I've got my boss in there and a few other people in the initial one. And we established the parameters of what we're to do, what we're allowed to do, what we're not allowed to do, all the other stuff. We're putting the math together for all this. And the first thing I do is like, okay, we'll put together, we'll take the P Famia here. And then we'll, from that, we'll use that to establish our design experiments to determine what we need to really focus in on for the DOE. Design of experiments. Everybody looked at me like I was nuts. I'm like, how many parts are in this fuse? How many things influence it? We need to ensure we eliminate as much as is possible and control as much as is possible to get to what the actual problem is. And we wound up, it took about 2 months, but the initial Famia was a week long, and we whittled it down to about 3 different items. And then we got it all set up, and then we had an experiment where we shot 500 rounds, where we custom made each round to the different tolerances, determining the far edge of the tolerances and determine all kinds of stuff. We labeled them accordingly. We threw them in randomly. So that way we, you know, the person firing them would tell us which one was being fired at the time when we record it. We record the results, and then we'd run it through Minitab and determine which combination of issues was close to what we want. We wound up finding some stuff. We wound up determining some things and creating something that wound up saving about $3 a round in testing, which was huge. We took a lot of, we got a lot of data out of that thing. We did a lot of changes that were pretty good. Never did isolate down the fuse issue because it was so. The thing is after doing the math on it, we determined, really, this is that much of a problem? No, it's not. I mean, it's the actual, I mean, it's well under the contract requirements, and it's not a critical failure, and it's not causing any problems in the field. Like, what the hell? We eventually got that figured out, but the other stuff was actually very valuable. I had engineers from Picatinny, I had engineers from from our competitors that were involved in this thing because they were having problems too. And our customer and one of our suppliers, because it was a downstream issue when it was testing. So of course, they all wanted to come to Orlando in December. I wonder why. Never mind. But yeah, it was an interesting time. We did some really cool stuff with that. But using that PFAMIA allowed us to basically, which failure mode, production failure mode affects, and that's what PFAMIA is. What failure mode in this particular part of the product was causing this overall issue, and how did we isolate it down? It really helped us point to a lot of stuff, and we got in there, and we, you know, and the experiment allowed us to determine a lot of things. And we tightened up some processes. We wound up making test vehicles be more efficient and more cost effective. Because you're not using live rounds to test these things. No. Too expensive. So you get these steel bodies that were made, like the rest of them, but you have to fill them up with some kind of filler to simulate the explosive. So there's that. And the type of filler was an issue too. So we had to make sure that we had the right, we found the better filler for it, and certain other shapings were done, and they wound up coming out really good. But oh boy, that was a brutal process though, because the reviews going through all these different hands, and then there was political stuff going on inside the company that wound up getting one guy fired. Like, oh boy, those, you'd be surprised what these tools will dig out. But it was good. It was really, really good. I was real happy with the outcome of that particular project. So, selecting the tools, making sure I would have to select one tool. I selected specifically was scrap cost, and I made sure to display it for each process in this one particular facility. I'd pull up scrap counts from each process, and I had and I coordinated with accounting to make sure that at each, you know, the amount of material and time and other processes were accounted for each process, and I was able to demonstrate the exact loss of money from each process and display it for all to see. I put it in a very prominent place, and I put it up every month. And I'd show improvements, and I'd show people that were not improving so well. And I would have stuff for praise for those who have made stuff better. And I'd have supervisors talking to people when stuff started to slip more than it should. If there was a reason for it, like some tooling issue or whatnot, nothing was said except that good catch, because that limited the amount of scrap that was happening. So, there's two stories there. Tools make things easier using the right tools. Tools are also intimidating as hell. I've got books on books on books on tools. The only thing that makes a black belt, green belt, they're not better than anyone else. Yeah, they got the certifications because they've been made aware and understand the tools, and they can apply the tools. But everybody else applies the same tools every day. These tools are not new. They're not some formalized stuff only determined in universities and production facilities by engineers. No, this was all common sense stuff. that came up organically. Most people use versions of these tools every day of their lives unconsciously. They just do it automatically. Formalizing it and putting it on paper just gives you a standard to hold to. Dang, I'm on an accountability tear here. What the heck? Well, it is what it is. Wow, that was quick. Oh, now that we've discussed tool selection, let me know if there's something you want to hear about through the website or comments. Like, share, follow, comment. Kind of need that because that way it gets out and about and more people can see it. Also, more people can see it, the more I could probably start making money on this, I hope. Because I'm still working on strictly disability right now. Trying to get some other things up and running. It's not easy. Small business. It is what it is. Not complaining. I actually kind of prefer it this way. But, yeah, I need to get things rolling. So, like I said, like, follow, share, 5 stars, the whole 9 yards. The sooner that happens, the more this gets out. Thank you. Thank you very much. See you on the next one.